This morning we're continuing with our series Back to Basics, and I'm going to be looking at wisdom. But first of all, I want to tell you a short story. One day a man was driving down a country road when his car came to a complete stop near a field with a few cows in it. The driver got out of his car and lifted the bonnet to see what was the matter. Then he noticed that one of the cows had come over to the fence nearby, and suddenly the cow said, "I believe the problem with your car is the radiator." Well, obviously the man was amazed by this and ran to the nearest farmhouse and knocked on the door. When the farmer opened the door, the man with the broken down car said, "My car broke down by your field with the cows in it, and a cow just gave me advice about my car." The farmer asked him, "Did the cow have big black spots on it?" "Yes, it did," the man replied. "Well," said the farmer, "that's Ethel. Don't pay any attention to her. She doesn't know a thing about cars." Now, I know that's just a silly story, but we all have decisions to make every day of our lives. Some of them are big, important decisions. How am I going to manage my money? Should I change my job? Or less important decisions. What shall I have for my lunch? What shall I watch on the telly? But whatever the decision is, where do you go for guidance and wisdom? James, the writer of the book of James, has a good answer to that question. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Listen to our reading for today, which is from James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. When James began verse 5 with the statement, "If any of you lacks wisdom," he wasn't suggesting that some don't need wisdom, but others do. Rather, he was saying, when you lack wisdom, or since you lack wisdom. A lack of wisdom is a given, it's a reality. The truth is, none of us is as smart as we think we are, or as wise as we think we are. We don't just need God's wisdom and guidance some of the time, we need it all of the time. We should be asking God for guidance about all the decisions in our lives, even the small ones. Don't wait until you're facing a crisis and then think, perhaps I'd better take this to God and ask what I should do. Often, part of our problem is that we don't want to admit that we need help. We like to think that we're in control and can decide everything for ourselves. Of course, it's good to make plans, but we have to remember that God is actually in control and always wants what's best for us. If we want to have the wisdom we need, we first have to admit that we're lacking in that department. And don't confuse wisdom with knowledge. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience, reasoning, or acquaintance. You can have knowledge without wisdom. A person can be knowledgeable without being wise. Knowledge is what we learn over time through study and experience. But wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Knowledge knows that fire will burn you. Wisdom tells you not to put your hand in the flames. Knowledge is being aware of the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. So a person can be an educated fool. Our world is full of them. We live in the most skilled, knowledgeable, and advanced generation ever. But we also live in the most selfish, violent, and anything-goes generation ever. We have knowledge at our fingertips. Just Google it. But we lack wisdom. Wisdom begins with a certain kind of knowledge. Just listen to these quotations from different parts of the Bible. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs chapter 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Colossians chapter 2, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Proverbs chapter 4, wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding. So where do we get this wisdom that we so desperately need? We get it from God. Look closely at the amazing promise of verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But how does God give us the wisdom that we need? Well, God reveals his wisdom by his Spirit through his word. God's wisdom doesn't come as a sudden revelation or impression out of nowhere. You won't find it in the Agony Aunt column or Reader's Digest unless they accidentally say something that coincides with God's word. God's wisdom comes directly from God and is revealed in his word. God's wisdom includes knowing how to apply the truths that we find in the Bible to particular situations in life. Part of receiving the wisdom we need includes spending time reading and learning God's word, so we will have a foundation of knowledge that wisdom can draw on and apply when our difficult times come. But then, as well as reading God's word regularly, we also need to pray for wisdom. The wisdom we need is only a prayer away, because God answers prayer. Our God is a giving God. James says that God gives to all generously without finding fault. God doesn't discriminate. God doesn't pick favourites. God gives ungrudgingly and without reproach. We all know some people who might be able to help us in our time of need, but we would never ask them for help because we'd never hear the end of it. They would help us, but lecture us the whole time, or hold it over us forever. God isn't like that. And we don't have to worry about God becoming irritated because we ask for the same thing over and over. God invites us to ask him for all the wisdom we need. God gives because he wants to. We can ask God for help and know that he gives generously and ungrudgingly. We all make wrong decisions at times which we regret, but God can put us on the right path again. It's like when Stuart and I go walking in the lakes or the Yorkshire Dales. Stuart always takes not just the Ordnance Survey map, but also his GPS device. If we choose the wrong path and start to wander away from where we should be, it will put us straight and show us where we should be. That's the same with God. If we ask for his help and guidance, he will always put us straight. But there's an important thing that must accompany our asking. We must ask in faith. James says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Faith is essential in approaching God, because as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." It would be silly to ask something of a being that you weren't sure existed, or if he did exist, you weren't sure if he cared about your request, or if he had the power to grant you what you requested. So to ask from God, We must believe that he exists, that he personally cares for us, and he is able to give us the wisdom that we need to handle any decision we have to make or any situation which we are facing. If we doubt God's existence or his ability to give us wisdom for our need, James says that we are like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. I'm sure you'll all have seen films of ships in stormy seas. The wind and waves can really toss a boat about and threaten to sink it, and the wind and waves can dash a boat against the rocks, causing it to break apart. That's the picture James draws of the person who lacks faith in God. I don't think that James is saying that there is no room for doubt at all. After all, Jesus himself commended a man who came to him and said, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." I think that James is emphasizing the importance of faith as a person's basic lifestyle and attitude, as contrasted with a lifestyle or attitude of constant doubting. At some point in our lives, we have to make a faith decision. Are we really going to trust God, or are we not going to trust him? In the Old Testament, that's what the prophet Elijah called the people to do on Mount Carmel. He asked them, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And earlier on in the Old Testament, Joshua had confronted them in a similar way. He said, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." If we don't make that decision of faith, then we're going to be like a little boat in the middle of the ocean, without an anchor, being tossed by the wind and the waves. It's possible to have questions and doubts. Faith doesn't mean that we have all the answers, but it does mean that we're putting our confidence in the one whom we believe does have all the answers. It means that in the midst of our trials and doubts, we remember God's promises and we apply God's wisdom. Just like sailors on storm-tossed seas who know that they can always look for direction to the pole star which never changes, so we can always look to God, who is the same yesterday, today and forever, for our guidance. Tragically, James then goes on to say that the person who doubts should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Being double-minded is like sitting on the fence. The double-minded are trying to face both ways or be on both sides at the same time. They trust and doubt. They hope for the best, but they expect the worst. Now, let's be honest about ourselves. We're all double-minded people at some level and to some degree. Left to ourselves, we're like sheep wandering off, going our own way, always looking for greener pastures. But the good news is, we don't have to hide that from the Lord. He already knows our hearts. He knows that we can be divided and pulled in a thousand directions. He knows our conflicting desires. He knows how much we want to do right and how quickly we do wrong. The only hope we have is to return to the God who loves us so much that he will not give up on us, even when we run from him. We all need Jesus, and we need him more than we know. The wisdom we need isn't an answer or a formula or a foolproof plan for tomorrow. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Christ himself is our wisdom. If you are not a Christian, you need Christ. And if you are a Christian, what you need is Christ. The need of the whole world is the same. We all need Jesus. And we need him more than we know. We all need a come to Jesus meeting now and then. Perhaps for you, This is the moment. Let's not be afraid to say, Lord Jesus, take the broken pieces of my life and put them back together again. I know I keep wandering from you, but I'm back home again. I need you and I need your wisdom. Here's my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me to run to you so that I may receive the wisdom that comes only from you. And perhaps a perfect way to end this talk is with the wisdom and advice of Solomon from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know him, and he will make your paths straight. Amen.